Remember the hereafter, and you will remember why you are here and what you are after.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Please repeat after me. As-salatu was-salamu alayki ya Rasulullah.
As-salatu was-salamu alayki ya Rasulullah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah.
As-salatu was-salamu alayki ya Nabiyyallah.
As-salatu was-salamu alayki ya Nabiyyallah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah.
Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Madni Channel brings you YOLO Series 2, The Magnificent Messengers. Before I start, a benefit of reciting Durood e Pak. Now today everybody has concerns, depression, sorrows, difficulties, and everybody is in this race to try and find a way to get their sins forgiven as well. Hazrat Ubay bin Ka'b radiallahu ta'ala anhu comes to the court of the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all the urad wa wazaif, the zikr I do, I allocate a portion of that to send durood wa salam upon you. How much should I allocate? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as much as you like. He said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what if I allocate a quarter of my time for the urad wa wazaif dedicated to sending durood wa salam upon you? Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that would be good. But if you increase it, it would be better for you. Mm-hmm. He said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what if I dedicate half of my time to sending durood wa salam upon you and half of my time in other zikr? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that is good. But if you increase it, it will be better for you. He then said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what if I spend 2/3 of my time sending durood wa salam upon you? And again, the best of creation sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that is good, but if you increase it, it will be better for you. He then turned to the best of creation, the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what if I dedicate all my spare time, all my urad wa wazaif, dedicate all that time to sending durood wa salam upon you? And Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, that if you did this, all your worries, all your concerns would disappear, and this would be enough for you to gain forgiveness in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. SubhanAllah, isn't this, my dear Islamic brothers, the solution to our problems today? If you're depressed, if you're concerned, if you've got financial difficulties, no matter what the problem, whether it's unruly children, anything, dedicate your time to sending durood the salam upon the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then watch your life in this world blossom, your grave be a garden of paradise, and alhamdulillah, you will stand proud on the day of judgment. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala, ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Remember the hereafter.
That all these superheroes that you see around you are all fake. They're all made up. They're a figment of somebody's imagination. So there's no such thing as these superheroes. And we all know that, don't we? But there are actually real superheroes. There are some magnificent messengers who have amazing powers. These people can read your mind. These people could fly. You're talking about flying carpets? There was one magnificent messenger who flew with his entire entourage. These people can predict the future and tell you what's going to happen. These people can heal you just by touching you. These people can wave a stick and make amazing things happen. SubhanAllah. These people control jinns and animals. These people are blessed with powers beyond our imagination. They are blessed with knowledge that we could never even comprehend. Who are these magnificent messengers? These are the prophets of Allah Azza wa Jal. Now over time, to guide humanity, Allah Azza wa Jal sent these amazing prophets, these human beings in human form, but they were not like normal human beings. And their job was to guide mankind towards Allah Azza wa Jal. These magnificent people were blessed with knowledge, but not only that, they were blessed with superpowers and great miracles. Allah Azza wa Jal has created billions of human beings, billions of animals, birds, insects, in their billions. And out of this amazing creation that is so vast and enormous, it can't be counted, Allah Azza wa Jal chose these very special people. And over time, sent approximately 124,000 of them to guide mankind, to give them the keys to Jannah. These amazing messengers of Allah Azza wa Jal, these magnificent prophets of Allah Azza wa Jal, we don't know much about. We should. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, they are our prophets in the sense that Islam teaches us about them. Islam brings us close to them. Islam gives us, and the Quran gives us, the great stories of these prophets. Today, we know about the fake superheroes. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, in this series of YOLO, we're going to learn about the true magnificent messengers of Allah Azza wa Jal. And we're going to start with somebody who was remarkable, incredible, Hazrat Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. From his actual creation, to the story that unfolded, to how he came upon the earth, and how he is the father of all human beings on the earth, a magnificent story that the scholars have studied so closely, that the glorious Quran mentions time and time again. And the discussions that take place between the angels and Allah Azza wa Jal, and how Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam is created, the Hadith of Mubarakah gives us so much detail. You're truly going to learn a lot today. You're going to benefit from it. And it's going to change your outlook of how the world came into being and what our reason for being here is. So I'm going to start with Shabazz Bhai. Shabazz Bhai, Hazrat Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, the first human being to be created by Allah Azza wa Jal. Now tell me this, before Hazrat Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam was created, what was there in the world then? And it's a difficult question, but you know, before Hazrat Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam is created, are there angels? What else has Allah Azza wa Jal created? Because obviously Allah Azza wa Jal is forever, there's no time, eternity. But other creation came into being. So at the time of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, or before he was created, what else was there?
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina al-Anbiya ibn Salim. Amma ba'd fa'audhu billahi min shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Yeah, difficult question. What was it before Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wa salam? It said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create in the entire creation. He created angels, He's created jinns, He's created humans. It said on a Wednesday the angels were created, on a Thursday jinns were created, and on a Friday humans, meaning Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wa salam, was created. It doesn't mean one day after the other. Rather, there's a gap of thousands of years. Some have said, so for example, Hazrat Ibn Umar radhiyallahu anhu states 2,000 years before Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wa salam was created, the jinns were created. Some state 7,000 years before.
Allah,
the point is, it was a huge amount of time between one creation and the second creation. So the angels were created, to simply answer your question, that is, and then the jinns were later created. So before Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wa salam, the heavens, the earth, etc., were all existing, and then Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wa salam was created.
Just a question that comes to mind on that, what you said. You know, Allah Azza wa Jal can say kun fayakun, create, you know, be, and it is. Yes? So why take the time to create over so many thousands of years?
And this is another question, with why did it take? So for example, when we do come to the story of Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wa salam, why did it take so many years to create Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wa salam? And the reason given here, which Khatib Baghdadi rahmatullahi ta'ala states, he says, is to show that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He did not just create it within a minute, but rather over a long duration, rather along a long period of time. And the reason he gives, he says, it's not to show for you to do things very, very quick, for you to be hasty, but rather shows is slow duration of time,
in organized patience,
subhanallah, organization,
subhanallah,
etc.
Subhanallah, beautiful. Now Allah Azza wa Jal said to the angels, I'm about to create a khalifa on the earth, and invited their opinion. How was it?
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yes, first informed them, many lessons to be taken from this. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say to the angels that I am going to? One of the reasons given is to show the greatness of Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam himself. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yes, He does not require any sort of advice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the all-knowing.
Bishak.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is alim al-ghayb. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need anybody's opinion or anybody's advice or anything like this whatsoever, but rather this is to show the importance and the greatness of Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states that I'm going to make a khalifa on the world. Before this, it stated that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yes, one thing we must understand, there's one thing which is messengers, another which is prophets. So we must be able to understand, because we're speaking about prophet, we must understand there's a difference between the two. Prophets is mutlaq, meaning it's generic, it's more inclusive. Approximately 124,000 prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And yes, we say approximately, it's really important.
Mufti Hassan mentioned this on a certain Madinah Muzakara. They mentioned that it's best not to put them into a certain number. But we should believe that how many Allah Azza wa Jalla has sent, we believe in all of them.
Subhanallah.
And whichever came that was a false prophet, we don't accept them. So we believe in every single one that Allah Azza wa Jalla has sent.
Look at the ihtiyat of Amir al-Sunnah. I remember a Madni Muzakara where Amir al-Sunnah was saying, look, when you say the prophets, like Shibazba, you pointed out, don't say 124,000, because what if you've missed one? How dare you miss a prophet? Or what if you've added an extra one? How dare you? So just say approximately. Allah Azza wa Jalla knows their amount better. And mashallah. No, this. So we were talking about, Shabazz Bey, this consultation. Allah Azza wa Jalla, what exactly was said and what did the angels reply?
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the angels that I will, in fact, just before that, it states that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intended to create Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, He first Oha ila al-ard. He first called out to the earth itself, and said that I intend to create a creation from yourself, meaning from the earth. So that Adam alayhi salatu wasalam is created from sayyalah, from the earth. So he said that I intend to create something from yourself, and from amongst them there'll be some who obey me, there'll be some who reject me. Those who obey me shall be granted Jannah, those who reject me shall be entered into the fire of hell. It says that when the earth had heard of this, then the earth began to cry. And it began to cry, and when it began to cry, there were fountains which gushed, which sprang forth from the earth.
Allah,
and rivers. And this is the reason why we have rivers and fountains, etc. It was something which, yes, which I came across and was quite interesting. I thought,
no, that's very interesting.
And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yes, He says to the angels that I intend to send a khalifa, but the angels ask, why, Ya Allah? And the angels state that, Ya Allah, You're going to create the humans, but why, when they are going to what? Disobey You, they're going to shed blood.
When the angels said, Ya Allah, you know, this entity that You're creating is going to cause battles, is going to shed blood, it wasn't, as I understood it, it wasn't the angels, Nauzubillah, question, because the angels are free from sin. What they were doing, it was more of a query, wasn't it? Ya Allah, you know, we know what the jinns have done. The scholars are right, don't they? The jinns had already done this. So the angels were kind of intrigued. Ya Allah, why are You creating this creation when we know that it's going to do this? And let me ask you that question then.
And this is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I know what you do not
Allah,
know.
Allah, Allah.
This was the simple answer to that. And there's much more. And the scholars, they state that the reason for this is because what this means is I know My prophets, that they shall be prophets, they shall be messengers, they shall be khulafa, they shall be ulama, they shall be sulaha, the pious people from amongst those.
Subhanallah.
I know that which you do not know.
That's an interesting start, because right even before Hazrat Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam is created, the angels raise this and Allah gives this reply. And it's quite clear from there that there will be bad people in the world, but the world wasn't created for them. The world was created for these diamonds who in this place, despite all the wrong around them, will ignore everything and turn to Allah Azawajal. Is that a fair way of putting it? And it's those diamonds that you're looking for. It's like a crop where, you know, maybe 90% or 95% won't bear fruit. But of the 5% that does bear fruit, the fruit is that expensive and that precious and that delicious that it's worth having that crop.
It's one way of putting it, yeah.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Now, the creation of Hazrat Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. What was Hazrat Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam made from then? What was he created from?
So in the Quran, Allah Azawajalla mentions the way his soil was taken from the earth for creation. So if we, Allah Azawajalla first initially commanded Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam to go onto the earth and take a handful of soil from the earth in preparation to make the, I don't know if it's the right word, the mold of Adam alayhi salam's body. So when he went, the earth didn't accept this because the earth knew that the offspring from Adam alayhi salam open to the day of judgment, some of them will end up in the fire and I do not want to be a part
Allah,
of the fire.
Allah, Allah.
So the earth said to Jibreel alayhi salam that I beg you for the sake of Allah, please don't take me.
Allah.
Now because Allah Azawajalla's name was mentioned, Jibreel alayhi salam went back and said, Ya Allah, the earth is using your name as a medium. So then Allah Azawajalla sent Mikael alayhi salam. Same scenario, same reply to Allah Azawajalla as well. Allah Azawajalla then sent Israel alayhi salam, the angel of death, and went on to the earth take a handful of soil. I remember this soil was the best parts of all the earth in one handful.
Allah.
It's mentioned 60 different type of soils were in this one handful, this one clench.
And it had, this is the handful of an angel.
Of an angel,
these are the angels whose wings, if they spread them out, cover the east and the west. Yeah. We can imagine the size of that.
Yeah, so all the particles of earth, I mean, if you go into detail, you know, even gold, silver, these different minerals.
All the elements,
you know, even scientists say today that humans have traces of gold, platinum, silver, ions. We have that in our body. Even today, scientists say this is in our body structure. And we believe this because the angel took the clench from the earth.
Allah.
So when Israel alayhi salam got to the earth to take, you know, fulfill Allah's hukam, the earth replied, same, that, you know, I beg you for the sake of Allah. Hazrat Israel alayhi salam said that, I will not go back to my creator without fulfilling his hukam, without fulfilling his command. So Israel alayhi salam took the soil and went back to the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that soil. And then from there, this went into certain phases. It's mentioned this soil then remained between Makkah and Taif for a certain amount of
duration. Yeah, that's what I was going to read. Yeah, amazing.
Do not, in regards to taking the soil, mashallah, he beautifully mentioned that from different types of soil. It said that there were different types, there was different colors, and this is the reason for our different colors too.
Allahu Akbar, subhanAllah.
And this is also the reason for our, some of us being hard, you could say, some of us being soft and kind,
subhanAllah,
due to the earth from which
all the different
created
types of kind, yes, of the material that went into.
About the creation of Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu salam, he said that yes, so all four angels were sent, only Hazrat Israel alayhi salatu salam brought the soil back. And he said that due to this reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him the one. He says that you are able to take the souls of the people.
Allah.
Something which is taken without permission.
Subhanallah.
So, you know, the earth sought refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Did not
disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala,
no.
But sought refuge. Why? Because it did not wish to become a part of the fire
of
hell.
Fascinating.
So Israel alayhi salam takes this without the permission. Why? Because it is the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, our souls, it is by the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And yes, other than the prophets, the Anbiya alayhi salam, you know, Rasulullah was asked about the taking of the soul. He was first asked for permission even to enter the home. You know, the angel of death is there. But the rest of it is taken without permission.
Subhanallah.
So it said that first the earth was brought, turba. And then the word used is ajin, meaning to knead, as you would say, like you would knead dough. No, like the way you need some sort of dough when you're making your roti, when you're making chapatis.
You know, atta gunna, as they say. It's kneading, isn't it?
Yes, so this was mixed with clay. This was mixed with clay. And this is how it was, it's mentioned that it was kneaded. And this is why in the Quran it's mentioned, even clay is mentioned, like that of pottery. And then it said that, yes, it was placed between Makkah al-Mukarramah and Ta'if. But there's another thing which is mentioned which is beautiful, I wish to say, because at the beginning, when it started, you know, the fazilat, the virtue of reciting Durood Sharif, he mentioned the worries which people have. What's mentioned here in this book, it states that when Hazrat Adam was being created, just the structure, the form itself, that yes, it was placed on earth for 40 years. First, it was in the state of what? Soil. Mixed with clay. It waited 40 years and then it was placed on the earth between, as Mashallah beautifully mentioned, between Makkah al-Mukarramah and Ta'if. But he said there was rain which descended upon it. And he said for 40 years there was Ma'ul Huzn.
What's that?
Ma'ul Huzn is, you know, Huzn means sadness, sorrow.
Alright.
So there was some sort of rain which is water, which had the water, and the water was a water of sorrow.
Allah.
And then for 1 year it was water of surur, which is happiness, which shows that the majority of the time a person, or there's more sorrow, there's so many worries, etc.
And what I was thinking there, and then right at the end, mashallah, you very beautifully kind of summed it up, because not only did it create the physical hardness, softness, colors and variations, but also the characters as well, the rain of sorrow, the rain of happiness. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. And this is how the clay that formed man came into existence. So coming back to the size of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, how big was he? How high was he? How tall was he?
60 cubits, it said.
60 ghaz. So that is 50 meters high. And then what Mufti Sahib also writes is that people in Jannah will be the same size as Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. And we know that over years, people's sizes have reduced. The whole proportion of the body has reduced. Wow. And ages have as well.
So ghaz is the equivalent of dead foot.
I'll tell you one thing. You know, Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, one of his miracles was he could do a shar'i safar, 3 days in one step.
Allah.
So 3 days safar in one step. That was one of his miracles. So that could give us an idea of how
Allah Azza wa Jal created the Jism Mubarak of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam with his own Dasti Qudrat.
So he said Yadullah, which literally means the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we did get to the part where the, you know, the features were made, etc., and then the ruh was blown into Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. So this is also mentioned in Ruhillah. There's a verse of the Quran in which it states, Laysa ka mithlihi shay. There is nothing, there's nothing like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This verse of the Quran is really important. So anytime we come to something which brings about a similitude between the creation and the creator, then we must reject that understanding. So the word yad, which generally means hand, it has many meanings. And one of the meanings is qudra, strength. I would say, give me a hand in this. I don't literally refer to your hand, but I refer to your help, your aiding. You know,
MashaAllah, that's a beautiful example.
So this is one of the many meanings. And to give it an interpretation, the scholars have said that this is what it means, what the power with the strength of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the question arises that everything is with the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So why is it that in so many instances, the hadith which I think you mentioned, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَىٰ قَدْ خَلَقَ قَبْلَ الْأَشْيَاءِ نُورَ نَبِيَّكَ مِنْ نُورِهِ. That Hazrat Jabir radhiyallahu anhu says to Rasulullah, what was the first thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created? And he says, O Jabir, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before creating anything else, created the nur of the Prophet مِنْ نُورِهِ, from his nur. Does that mean it's literally a part? There's also Baytullah. Does that mean it's the house, literally the house of Allah? No, what these refer to is especially that these things have been especially with all of the grayness or whatever you wish to say, created for this purpose. So this is Baytullah, is house which is special, which is brought out from all of the rest, which is exclusive, you can say. So ruhum min ruhillah is, or the nurullah, these are all, it just shows the greatness of such an individual.
Allah,
it shows the greatness of the thing itself.
So for the lay person like me, when there is mention that Allah Azza wa Jal created Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam with his own hands, they're not hands like ours. Allah is the power of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the way that Allah Azza wa Jal fashioned it, and we can't think of it like the hands that we have. Mm-hmm. Now, there was one interesting thing that I read, and I wanted both of you to kind of cover this. Hazrat Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam is created in this beautiful, perfect form. The angels see him in this form and they think, wow, this is something amazing. He's placed in Jannah, but the ruh hasn't been put into him. Yeah. And then I read that this other character mentioned in this story, this other character decided to go and have a look. Tell us about that.
It said that the angels were in awe, in fact, afraid too. What is this being? What is this being? And the shaitan too himself. So what he does is, it said that he enters through the mouth and he takes a look at the entire body and then he leaves from the back. And the shaitan says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is samad. This meaning absolute. This is hollow. This is something which is hollow. And after taking a good look at it, he says, I can easily overpower this. Because he understood that this could be overpowered by his own desires. Okay, so when the ruh is actually blown in, it's said first to the brain. It's mentioned that initially it's blown into the brain, and then for an entire year it circulates.
There was one thing that happened though, when Hazrat Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, the ruh Mubarak was put in and it got to the brain, he sneezed, didn't he? As well, he sneezed.
It got to the nose.
Yeah.
He sneezed. And then, so same way, it went from the head top to bottom. When it got to the mouth, he said, Alhamdulillah. And then, so that was the first word.
He said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied.
Allah replied.
So there's two narrations. One says, Rahimakullah, and the other says, Yarhamakullah.
Yeah.
And there's an explanation to it if you wish to get into it. Rahimakullah means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has showered His mercy upon you. Yarhamakullah, some people will think, why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, Yarhamakullah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send mercy? The explanation to this is to teach the people that this is what you should say. Because later, very soon later, it's also mentioned that it's ordered to go give salam
to the angels. Yes.
And then he says, Assalamu alaikum. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to him, with your salam, and their reply shall be that of your children too.
Mufti Sahib writes that what Allah Azza wa Jal had done, and this what this showed, is that intrinsic within this amazing person and this amazing human being that Allah Ta'ala created, Allah Azza wa Jal had put knowledge within it to praise Allah Azza wa Jal. This is how amazing it was. That so even though the ruh is just coming in, Hazrat Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam was given that knowledge by Allah Azza wa Jal. We're going to have a 5-minute quick discussion on our real talk, which is next. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Remember the hereafter. Remember the hereafter.
Qurbani we have to give. But why? Why do we need to give Qurbani? And can I just give one hissa from all my household? And you know, why do I have to spend this money? And is it necessary? And what does it help me with? So those are the questions. Shiraz Bhai, help me.
Why do we do Qurbani?
Do I have to do it?
It's the sunnah of Ibrahim alayhi salam.
Okay. But a lot of
Prophet
say,
the companions asked the Prophet the same question. What is Qurbani? And the Prophet replied that it is the sunnah of your father Ibrahim alayhi salam. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, like, فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ, that pray to your Lord and sacrifice, i.e. perform Qurbani. There's other various ayats as well talking about Qurbani. It's basically a ritual, a tradition that we perform every year for those people who reach the requirements of Nisab. They must give one sacrifice for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
We live in a materialistic world though, Shabazz. What benefit do I get from Qurbani?
What benefit do you get?
You got a lot of youngsters saying, what is this?
You know, I'll tell you a nuksan that you get, a loss. The Prophet ﷺ says that the person who doesn't perform qurbani, he shouldn't read Eid namaz as well.
Allah.
Who has to read, who has to give his qurbani?
He should not come to the prayer, to the place of Eid. In regards to the qurbani, one thing we must understand is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us. So just Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordering us itself should suffice. This should be sufficient for us.
Subhanahu.
Then the same question would come, why pray salah, why give zakat, why do anything? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created mankind, and if there was to be no rules, then there would be havoc. There wouldn't be any sort of system, any sort of peace whatsoever. And philosophers debate this as to, you know, before any rules, what was the actual state, the state of nature, is what is mentioned. And Muslim agree that it's just killing. That's all it is, mass killing, mass murder, no ease, just complete a disaster, literally. That's what it is, a disaster. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us rules, guidelines, for which or by which we must obey and abide by. Because if we don't, then there is chaos, is ruin, isn't there? So sometimes we do not understand as to why something is good for us or why it's not good for us. Sometimes we think something is good for us, but it isn't. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the all-knowing. If we were to, you know, have a question about a problem, a physical problem, we may go to a doctor, we may go to, if it's food, we may go to a dietitian. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has complete knowledge of everything, and everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders us to do is perfect, and there's no doubt in it that of its perfection, of its brilliance, that it's good for us. Although you may not realize it, but it is good for us. Now, in terms of benefits, why? Firstly, Hazrat Ibrahim, the story behind is of Hazrat Ibrahim and his son, Hazrat Ismail. This is what we must understand. Some people confuse this, and it's really important too that we understand this was Hazrat Ismail, the firstborn son of Hazrat Ibrahim. And he, you know, when he was about to sacrifice his own son, and then a ram was brought by Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam. That's why we have the Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah. It's quite a lengthy story. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us to do this. It's the way to remember the act of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. And something else which it shows is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He loves His prophets.
Subhanallah.
He loves His prophets. Now the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they performed various actions which were for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now think about it, a person who has a child would tell you this, that there's no way they would possibly sacrifice their child. Why? Because it was the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was their love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in order to remember this, we have days of remembrance, don't we? Mm-hmm. To remember things, or when this happened, this occasion. So for this reason, 5th of November, we have this. So we have days, don't we, of the year. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved this action so much that He wished to keep it alive amongst the people. And so He ordered the people to also sacrifice to remember.
And you get some people, Shazbek, who basically say, well, why is it the sacrificing and the blood of an animal and that? And sometimes it's a waswasa of the shaitan, isn't it? Because that is the command of Allah. Allah Azzawajal created these things. And yet, so you know, these people who say this, billions of animals are slaughtered every day in barbaric ways, whereas the scientists have said that the way that qurbani is done, the animal doesn't suffer. It suffers the least because if it's done in the perfect Islamic way that we've been taught, it doesn't suffer. And this is a gift. It's a way of worship in Allah's way, because that's the command. Like Shabbat, very good.
I think it's about 2.2, 1.8 billion Muslims.
Yeah.
The amount of them that perform qurbani every year. And there's certain animals that you could only perform qurbani on, and it's been like this for 1400 years. None of them have become extinct, whereas other animals,
yes.
You know, there's charities for them where you could pay a few pounds every month to let them breed.
Adopt them.
Harumba, you know, like if a, you know, having like a lamb, yeah, and you got it at a young age, and you fed it every day, you've given it water, you looked after it, you know, you've stroked it. And then going to slaughter it, you know, for any normal human, it actually does hurt. I mean, you feel sad. And that's a good thing. You're supposed to feel sad. But this is what Allah wants you to do. He wants you to sacrifice the things you love most to get His pleasure. And this is like one of the, and this is what Ibrahim alayhi salam done. And remember, look, Ibrahim alayhi salam, he built the Kaaba with Ismail alayhi salam. The bond that they had together was like no other son and father. I mean, they participated in so many things. And then the bond that the mother had with Ismail alayhi salam, from Safa to Marwa. Now for him to go and sacrifice the son, and then imagine how the mother would have felt. Allah Azza wa Jalla commanded him to do this and then changed it into a ram, and we were given this as a favor.
Subhanallah. You know,
and we remember this tradition, but also is to nurture us as well, that we should be ready to sacrifice the things we love most for the sake of Allah.
And that is beautifully kind of put, because it's in essence, you're not sacrificing this animal which is, you know, 100 or 200 pounds. What you're doing is you're sacrificing something in the court of Allah which might be dear to you, because you've grown attached to it, because you like it, or maybe the wealth is there. But what you're doing is you're learning how to sacrifice things in the way of Allah. Mm-hmm. Your desires, maybe, like you said, the love and affection you have, command of Allah, and it's there, and we have to fulfill it, whether we understand it, like it or not. And MashaAllah, Shiraz Bey very beautifully summed up that there are deeper meanings to this. I'm going to keep it very simple. Hadith Mubarakah, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who performs qurbani receives reward for each hair of the qurbani animal. Now there are hundreds and thousands, maybe a million hairs on there. So if you do qurbani, alhamdulillah, that is a lot of good deeds. But it was the next couple of Hadith Mubarakah that I wanted to just for you to just ponder upon. Because we all, a lot of us, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, by the blessings of Allah and His beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we do qurbani every year. But do we do it with a happy heart? Listen to this Hadith Mubarakah. Whoever performed qurbani with a willing heart while hoping for reward, it will become a barrier for him from the fire of hell. And here, Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that willing heart. And again, in another Hadith Mubarakah, Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that, you know, do it with a willing heart, do it with a happy heart. When you're doing qurbani, you're presenting a gift in the court of Allah, you're fulfilling a command of Allah. Be happy about it.
In a way, it's kind of like for yourself as well, because it's been stated, hasn't it, that the sacrificial animal shall be your, you could say, animal upon which you will board or ride across the bridge of Sirat.
SubhanAllah.
So you're going to wish for the best
it's
of...
It's benefits in both sides.
You're going to wish for the best of animals. Like, you know, you wish for the best of cars or anything. You know, wish for the best of animals to be riding you.
Beautiful.
You
gave me a beautiful key, because I'd read that actually, but I'd forgotten it. But the first is that on the when your deeds are being weighed, the qurbani will be placed on the good side. Mm-hmm. And so imagine if your deeds are being weighed and then suddenly this side gets heavier and your good deeds go up because of the qurbani, alhamdulillah.
It's also said that as soon as the first drop falls, a person's forgiven.
SubhanAllah. So and then the second, Alama Ali Qari rahmatullah alayhi says, which is what you said, the bridge of Sirat is as thinner than a hair, sharper than a sword, and people will be struggling across it. But the one who does qurbani, fulfilling the command of Allah Azza wa Jal, will ride on his qurbani and cross the bridge of Sirat. How beautiful is that? So try and make sure you get your qurbani done. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, your Dawat-e-Islami arranges the qurbani. It is done under the watchful eyes of the scholars, so it's done in accordance with this beautiful sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the meat, as much as we can, we try to distribute it amongst the poor and the deserving. And then as well as that, anything that's left over, for example, the skins, etc., those are sold and the money is used in the propagation of the deen of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, alhamdulillah, benefit all the way around.
Yeah, one thing which comes to mind is, you mentioned, can you do it on behalf of the entire family?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so what we must remember is, there's conditions for it to become necessary wajib upon a person. If it's wajib upon a person, it's wajib upon a person. So it's like salah, you know, can I pray salah for you?
So that's a good example, I like that.
Yeah, so if a person, if he's sane, if he's baligh, meaning he's mature.
Yeah.
If a person is sahib nisab, and that's quite long, but if they're about 280 pounds approximately, which I've had for a year round without any debt, etc.
Yeah, the state that people make is That, for example, my parents are elderly, so they don't have to do it. It's not about being elderly, it's about the wealth they possess. That's the first thing. The other is, I've done it, so my bachukiyami, the mother of my children, doesn't need to do it. No, if you do it, and you're the earner in the family, then she needs to do it. And then the children as well, if they're earning and they've got the money that you've described. So make sure, and you know, we all do qurbani for different things. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did a qurbani and said, this is for my ummah. So if this ummah should present a gift on this Eid to, in the court of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so whenever you do your hissah and everything else, at least said this one portion I allocate to my beloved Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a gift on this day, and that would be beautiful. May Allah subhanahu give us all the tawfiq to do this qurbani. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Do join us. I hope you enjoyed today. Keep us in your du'as. Keep watching Madni channel and make sure you sort out your qurbani this year. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Remember the hereafter, and you will remember why you are here and what you are.